in the book of Matthew. You know, we have a lot of things happening early in 2022, so I know there's a lot of information there on the announcements. Check out our website, shalombrevard.com. Check out the newsletter. If you're not on the newsletter, please sign up to be on our newsletter. The first of every month, that newsletter comes out with all sorts of great information. So please, you know, stay in touch with us about everything that's going on, including a little plug for the membership classes. We really want people to get invested. We want people to take ownership and be part of our congregation, part of our family. And so if you have any questions about that, come and see me. We'd love to see you all at the membership classes if you're not a member. We're going to be streaming those things. We're going to be having an option for people virtually to check it out too. More info to come on that. So please get involved here in 2022. We want to get involved in everything God is doing here. Okay, let's open up our Bibles to Matthew 5. If you have your reading list, you remember it's been a week. You know, we're a little rusty, right? Because we're a week off. But we're diving back into the book of Matthew, foundationally a real strong book for us to launch into the new covenant or the newer covenant. We want to explore and understand all that God brought forth through Messiah Yeshua, and we're doing that. So it's great to be back here as a community together, studying the Word of God. Matthew 5, verse 21, we're going to start there in just a minute. Now let me just kind of set it up for us. Last time, if you remember, it's been 2 weeks, I know. Last time we discussed about Yeshua the Messiah, how he came, how he sat down and he taught the people. And you can just see it, you know, in the Sea of Galilee there. There's hills right by the Sea of Galilee. He would have been teaching and preaching from one of those hills. The disciples and all the people, the crowds would be coming around to hear him speak right there where you could see the Sea of Galilee. And he was teaching them about the Lord. He was teaching them about how to live their lives. And last time we talked about how Yeshua came to fulfill or to fill full the Torah and the prophets. He came as the embodiment of everything Adonai was trying to do from the beginning. Throughout the Tanakh or the Old Testament, all leading up to Mashiach. Because the Tanakh, we know, the Torah and the prophets and the writings, they're all speaking about Messiah. It's all bringing us to the arm of the Lord, as Isaiah talks about. The Mashiach, the anointed one, which is what Mashiach means in English. So now Yeshua starts teaching the people, and he's teaching them, now he's kind of digging into details today, in our passage today. He's telling them, okay, I've come to fulfill all this. I've come to bring it to its fullest meaning. Now I'm going to lay it out for you. How do you live it out? How do you live out the Torah in your life? The Torah was given, but now how do we apply the principles to our lives back then and our lives today? So we're going to be surveying Matthew 5:21 to 6:4 today. I say survey because there is no way, as I say this every week, that I can go through every verse and dissect every verse and dig into every verse. And so I've got to figure out, the Lord has to show me, you know, what to focus on in the time that I have. And I believe that as we go through this, there's a theme. There's a theme here. We're going to see how Yeshua is teaching us the Father's heart. We're going to see that. Yeshua is trying to tell us how to apply this to our lives the right way. How God the Father, Adonai, has always wanted us to apply the Torah to our lives. We're going to see how to live a holy and righteous life. And how living a holy and righteous life isn't always what it appears to be on the outside. It's really something you have to start with internally. We're going to be talking about that. And how when we talk about rewards, our rewards should not be from this world. I mean, they can be from this world. We all have awards and accolades and things that we accomplish in this life, but our ultimate rewards, spiritually speaking, should be from God and not man. We're going to talk about all that today. All right, so let's open up with Matthew 5, 21 and 22, just to start us off. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. There's a lot just in those couple of verses, right? Yeshua just got done telling the people, he's come, and he's come to bring the true meaning of Torah for us. If we want to truly understand how to live it out in our lives, Yeshua is laying it out for us here. So we have to understand what's going on after those verses we talked about last time. So the question is, how do we apply it out in our lives? How do we walk it out? Now, in Judaism, there is a term, there is a theme, there is something that in traditional Judaism is talked about all the time, and it is called halakha. You may have heard of it, halakha. You may have, you know, gone through it. Halakha means the way to walk. That's really all it means, okay? And so it's the process of deriving practical application from the Torah. That's what halakha is. We struggle to know exactly how to walk it out in our lives because halakha actually means the way to walk, as I said. We struggle to know exactly how to walk out Torah with halakha in our lives, just as they did 2,000 years ago. Jewish people have been struggling with it from the beginning of time, right? Mankind has been struggling with how to apply and walk with God from the beginning of time. And rabbinic Judaism has been grappling with halakha and how to apply Torah to their lives for the last 2,000 years since Yeshua. We have in rabbinic Judaism or rabbinic literature tons of writings, okay? The Talmud, the responsa literature, the Tosefta, all of these writings up through the current day, the Shulchan Aruch, all of these law codes, all of these applications of our lives, much and much debate about it. And it's not cut and dry. It's not like the rabbis say, do this and you'll apply Torah the correct way in your life. Because you know what all this body of rabbinic literature says. It's one rabbi saying, well, this is the way to walk. This is halakha. And then another one comes up next to him and says, no, I disagree with you. It's this way. And then you know what happens? A third one comes out and says, no, 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 you're both wrong. It's this way. And that's literally rabbinic literature, okay? I mean, I'm not downplaying it. And there's a lot of great stuff in it. But it's perspectives of man about how to walk out this life, how to walk out Torah in our lives. However, Yeshua is the best, the number one interpreter of halakha for us. The number one interpreter of Torah. He's the ultimate authority on matters of Torah. So we should listen to his words that are written right here in Matthew, and we should apply them because he is the ultimate in authority. That's what the scripture even says. He came as one who had authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember when he says that in the word? So we need to understand that Yeshua is the ultimate authority on halakha for our lives and should be for our lives. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses is regarded as the principal prophet in Judaism. Okay? We know we have Isaiah, we have Malachi, we have Jeremiah, all these great prophets, right? Even Samuel, who was the first prophet and the last judge. But no one in traditional Judaism is regarded as greater than Moses. But Moses says, somebody's coming after me that you need to listen to because he's going to teach you. And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you, the people, a prophet like me, like Moses, from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Now we know that that is prophetically speaking about Yeshua. He's the prophet that was to come like Moses. He's the one that's to show us how to live out the Torah, speaking about halakha in our lives. So he did come 2,000 years ago. And what Yeshua does in the remainder of Matthew chapter 5 is he takes six areas of Torah, and we're going to talk about it briefly now. He takes six areas, key areas of Torah, and breaks them down for us. These key areas are anger and murder, divorce, oaths, retaliation, and love for our enemies. And in each of those instances, all six of them, and that's through the rest of the book of Matthew chapter 5, in each of those instances, Yeshua brings out the Torah text and then the ultimate halakha meaning for the Torah text, okay? Now, why these six? Everybody, that's the first question I always would ask, right? Why did these six? Why didn't he go through all the other things? Well, okay, these six instances or examples give us a good representation of Torah principles. They're a good cross-section of Torah. And we know that when Yeshua or somebody else speaks about one section of Torah, we can interpret it as meaning for the greater. You know, that was a common way to hermeneutically go through things back then in Judaism. You would talk and you would say one phrase to somebody and they would immediately think of the entire phrase. You would say one verse or one line in the book of Isaiah, and every student of Torah, because most kids learn Torah at a very young age, they would memorize large portions of Torah back then. We even know today, Orthodox Jews, very ultra-Orthodox, right? Very, very observant Jews, when they're very young, they learn Torah. They memorize Torah. They didn't have the benefit of having Bibles and even a lot of scrolls handy. There were scrolls, but not every household had scrolls. So you would memorize the Word of God. So if someone said one line from the book of Isaiah to you, you could immediately know the context of what they were talking about and look at the larger passage. Yeshua is talking about six areas here. His reader or his listeners would immediately know it applies to the broader way, the broader application for all of Torah. So we can take these six instances, we can take these principles, and we can apply it to all of Torah in our lives as halakha. Okay, so now let's get into it. The first part of the phrase, all six times, by the way, there's a phrase. And the first part is, you have heard it was said, right? And the second part is, but I say unto you. So we're going to look at those two. Why does he say that all six times? You have heard it was said is what he first says. But he doesn't say, it is written. Did you ever notice why? Did you ever notice that? He doesn't say, it is written, da-da-da-da-da. He says, you have heard it was said. The text says one thing, and then the teachers of the text, the Pharisees, the scribes, the leaders of the age, they would be interpreting halakha, I don't even know how to say it. Say it with a, you know, halakha-ali, whatever, however you say it. They would be interpreting how to live it out. There's all this interpretation going on, whether it was the Pharisees, whether it was the Sadducees, whether it was the Essenes or the Zealots or all these sects of Judaism. They will be expounding on what the word says. So he's saying, listen, you heard it was said from everybody else. Now I'm going to say to you what the proper interpretation is, or the most full interpretation, as I said before. Yeshua says, you've heard it, but I tell you, okay? Now, remember, Yeshua is the greatest interpreter of Torah that we have. He spoke with authority. Much of halakha centers around the what to do, right? How you do something. Yeshua, with these six instances, is going even higher for us. He's really giving us a proper interpretation. He's showing us it's more than just doing. It's more than just doing. Not enough just to do the mitzvot. You've got a higher standard of living that you're called to as a follower of God. We are called to internalize the Torah in our lives. We are called to live with transformed hearts. That internalization of Torah is what Jeremiah talks about, and I'm not going to turn there, but Jeremiah 31, putting the Torah inside of our heart. This is what Yeshua is getting us to see here in the book of Matthew. We can be set apart from everybody else by internalizing the Torah, not just in our actions, but through our thoughts and our heart attitude as well. This is a higher plane of trying to really understand and how to live out Torah. Because what God has always been about, not just with Yeshua, but even back before then, is you and I are to be holy as he is holy. You can do all the commandments all day long and not be holy, right? You can do it outwardly, but have all sorts of problems on the inside. God wants us to take it inside and be holy as he is holy. Leviticus 11:45, let's go there. You know, he talks about this throughout the Bible. God wanted us, and this is not a New Testament concept. God has always wanted us to be holy as he is holy, to internalize the principles, to walk out halakha internally in our lives. Leviticus 11:45, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We can't be holy, as I said, but just doing things. Because we can have a very unholy heart inside, right? You ever gone through the motions with things and everything looks fine on the outside, But inside, you got a lot of problem. You got a lot of anger. You got a lot of unrest. You got a lot, no peace in your life. Yeshua was saying you can have peace internally. You need to get it inside of you and be holy, because that's where it starts. Now, remember, Yeshua says, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you." This is actually better translated, the second part, as "and I tell you," not "but," because "but" connotates "however," it's really this. That's really a mistranslation. Turn with me to James chapter 5. I want to give you a good example of what the translation should really say. You know, our translations are wonderful, all of our English Bibles, but many times it doesn't capture the essence. It doesn't capture the context of what God is doing. And when it was translated by men who didn't really understand the context many times, they mistranslated it. We know this, right? I'm not telling you anything new. But anyway, it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't really say, "but I say to you." It should be "and I say to you." An example is James chapter 5, verse 11. "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Jacob, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So it's the same structure in the sentence or in the phrase. You have heard, and it is, and you have seen. In this verse in James, the second part doesn't cancel out the first one. Okay, you see how that is. There's no "however" there. There's no "but" there. The second part comes alongside the first part, amplifies it, and gives it a fuller context. That is what Yeshua is saying in Matthew chapter 5. You've heard it was said, and that's good, and now I am amplifying it for you. I am going to give you the fullest extent of the meaning. I'm completing the sentence. I'm paraphrasing Yeshua. I'm completing the phrase. I'm amplifying and clarifying and bringing to the fullest meaning of the word. That's what Yeshua is doing. That's what he's doing for us. So through all of this, he teaches us how to have an internalized holiness. He's teaching us how to have a proper heart within following the commandments. And that's point number one today. Yeshua shows us the Father's heart for us. You've heard it was said by all manner of people, "Do this, don't do this." But I'm coming to tell you, this is the fullest expression of how it can be for you in your life, because this is the Father's heart for you and I. The fullest extent. And then we get to the end of the chapter. So now we go forward, and I don't have time, unfortunately, to go through all the six instances in detail. But go to the end of the chapter. This is very telling here. Matthew 5:48. "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So he goes through all of the instances, all of the application, internalize it, and then he says this really strange thing at the end: "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So, how many of us are perfect? Okay, some of us think we're perfect, but we're not, right? Nobody is perfect. So what is he getting at here? How can we be perfect? We've already missed the boat, right? I already missed the boat five times before I came in here with my sinning and messing up before the Lord. How do we get to be perfect then? Well, again, looking at translation, a better translation of that would be, you should bring these commandments to the fullest realization that you can. You must. So a better translation is, bring these commandments to their fullest realization. It's not enough to not murder somebody. We can walk around and feel so good about ourselves. "Well, I didn't kill anybody, so I'm great. I didn't steal anything, so I'm doing fine." No, he's saying, as an example of murder, don't even think about murdering somebody. Don't even think murderous thoughts. Don't even have anger towards your brother. That is how you can be perfect in your life. It's by internalizing the word. We must not even think murderous thoughts. We should have a heart of compassion. We should have a heart of mercy. And a heart not of rage and anger. Now, the Greek word for perfect in that Matthew 5:48 verse is interesting. The Greek word for perfect is teleios. Teleios, it's a Greek word. And it means brought to its end, finished. That's what it means. Not needing anything more to be complete. Okay? It doesn't mean perfect. It means not needing anything more to understand and have the fullest expression of it. Yeshua brings us to the fulfillment of all the Father wants for us. to live a holy life. So when he's saying, be perfect as your Father is perfect, what he's saying is, be holy as your Father is holy, right? Hearkening back to that Leviticus scripture. Be holy. Internalize these principles, for I am holy. Okay, now back to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 6 now. We're going to keep moving. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Okay, so now he moves on. Now, there was a Scottish theologian, his name was A.B. Bruce, and he did a commentary on the book of Matthew. And it's interesting the way he characterized chapters 5 and 6 of Matthew. In chapter 5, he says Yeshua is, and he lived like 100 years ago. He said Yeshua is encouraging his followers, in chapter 5, to show their good works when they're tempted to hide them. Showing their good works when they're tempted to hide them. An example is, go to your brother and reconcile. That's one of the six, right? Or give someone your tunic. It's showing outwardly when you're tempted to not do those things. And now in chapter 6, Bruce says, Yeshua encourages us to hide our good works when there's a temptation to show them. So now it's flipping here. Now in chapter 6, we're supposed to hide our good works when there's a temptation to show them. And we're going to go into that. A great example here is what's in the first few verses of chapter 6, which is all about tzedakah, which is charity, right? Doing your good works, doing your charity for others. Let's continue on, Matthew 6, 2 and 3. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Right? We've read those many times probably before. Now, there is a real danger in the body of Messiah. There's a real danger to show our good works, right? We should be hiding them in these instances, but there's a real temptation to show them. There's a real temptation for you and I to say, look at me. Look at how godly I am. Look at how pious I am. Look at all the wonderful things I do for the poor. Look at all the wonderful things I do at the synagogue. Look at all the wonderful things that I do for my family and at my job. Everybody, look at me, right? I'm doing everything right, right? We have the tendency, if we're honest with ourselves, to do that. And to be completely honest with you, this is my big problem with social media. I like social media. I use social media. But the problem, the danger with social media is it becomes, if we're not careful, all about self. It becomes all about, look at my good works, or look at what I'm doing today. I'm not saying don't post on social media. I'm not saying don't use social media, because you've got to use it carefully, because there's a danger, though, because pride can easily creep in when we make that post or when we show that thing about even our kids or ourselves or whatever. Pride about being right, doing right, can come in and creep in so quickly. Turn with me to Proverbs 18, verse 12. Many of you have heard this scripture before. Usually it's quoted in the King James Version. I'm going to quote it in the ESV. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. So again, Yeshua is saying nothing new. This was stuff that was written in Proverbs. It's stuff that was written in the Tanakh. Yeshua must, I think he was thinking about that verse that we just read when he says another thing. Now turn to Matthew 23, which is a chapter where he's admonishing the leaders, and really the people too, about showing when you should be hiding your good works. Matthew 23, 12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So you see, it's the same kind of concept. Our righteousness should not be based outwardly. Now, I'm going to get to, it will flow out outwardly. We're going to get to that in a minute. But our righteousness should not be based outwardly. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, rabbinically, when we speak about the rabbis, they were teaching this stuff over the last 2,000 years too. The Jewish sage Maimonides, we've heard of him, very famous Jewish rabbi, said that there's 8 degrees of charity, 8 different types of charity, or tzedakah. The highest level of charity is when it's done anonymously. This is what Maimonides said, okay? The base level, the bottom level, is when people know that you're doing it. But when you're doing it anonymously, when your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, that, Maimonides said, is the greatest level of charity. And that, Yeshua said, is how we should be. We should not be basing our righteousness externally, but rather our righteousness should be based internally. That's point number two today. Our righteousness should be internal. This is what Yeshua is trying to get at. Remember, getting it into the heart, hiding the good works when there's a temptation to show them. Our righteousness should be internal. Here's the thing. God knows all the things that you did for people that were not broadcast on social media and at the synagogue and in all the marketplace. God knows what you've done. God knows what you've endured and what nobody has seen. God knows your heart. We need to understand that. Nothing gets by God, and God sees what you're doing, even in secret. When our righteousness is based internally, with a right heart before God and before people, everything should flow out naturally from that internal understanding that we have and our righteousness being done internally. Go to Proverbs 4:23. I think this says it really well. Better than I could even say it. If we go to Scripture, we can understand everything that we're talking about, basing things internally, hiding it when we have a temptation to show it, is found in Scripture. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." So focus on the internal righteousness and it'll flow out externally naturally. It won't flow out unnaturally where you're trying to force it. Look how pious I am. Look at what I'm doing. If we base our righteousness internally, it should flow out, as Proverbs 23 says. From it will flow the springs of life, and people will see it in our lives. But it's got to start internally. Now go back to Matthew 6. One more point today. And we're going to finish out the passage with this one verse, Matthew 6, verse 4. "So that your giving may be in secret," we talked about that, "and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Your Father who sees in secret will reward you, okay? The world is so mixed up when it comes to this stuff. I don't have to tell you that. You already know that. The world is results-based, and the world is rewards-based. Everything is about showing. Everything is about externally viewing. We see it absolutely everywhere. I'm going to give you two examples. Think of sports, right? Think of sports. We have athletes in different sports teams and different sports events. They work extremely hard. They do it professionally, you know, for a living. They train hard. They compete. And those that win are rewarded, aren't they? What are they rewarded with? Fame, money, power, celebrity status, right? That's external. Another example, the business world. Many of you are business people in the marketplace, right? You work hard. You compete. You know, sometimes you're a workaholic. You're trying to get it done, right, in the marketplace. And you're rewarded. What are you rewarded with? Bonuses, stock options, fancy titles, fancy offices, you know? I've had a couple of fancy offices in my time, and it's like, ooh, look at this fancy office. But it's not about the fancy office. You're rewarded with all of these things. We judge ourselves, I'm talking about the world standards, and others based on the physical rewards that we get, don't we? That's how the world sees things and rewards things. And it goes even further. The worth of a person is based on what they achieve. This is the world standards. The worth of a person is based on what they achieve. That educational degree, that position of power, that influence on social media. This world tries to make us believe that if we don't get the rewards, if we don't get the accolades or acknowledgement, if you don't get all those likes and comments on your posts, then you're doing something wrong. You're not being rewarded. You're not being acknowledged. But judging by outward appearances, of course, is nothing new, right? We see it today. It's all over the world. But it was back then, too. They didn't have social media back then. They didn't have all the mass media that we have. But they still had this temptation to show their works when they should be hiding them. And here comes Yeshua turning the paradigm on its head. I think it was just as radical back then as it is today to hide your good works when you're tempted to show them. Turn with me to Matthew 23 again. We'll go to verses 27 and 28. Yeshua came to show us a better way, right? We know that. Yeshua came with some really harsh words in Matthew chapter 23. And in 27 and 28, he says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs," ouch, "which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." How many celebrities have you heard about, read about, that have all the fame and money and they're a mess internally, right? You've seen it. They're self-destructing internally. There's no peace because everything is flowing from an outward way of rewards and outward worth rather than internal worth. Yeshua says you are not to do that. If you do that, you're going to be whitewashed tombs. You're going to be all messed up on the inside, but looking so perfect on the outside. Yeshua is trying to change the model to get people to see that it's not the outside. You may totally look the part. Like I said, you may have complete success, rewards, fame, money, accomplishments, but you may be so lonely and so broken on the inside. It's not about the accomplishments and it's not about what people can see. Our rewards in this life should not be based on those things. Our worth, I should say, should not be based on what we accomplish in this world. God doesn't judge our worthiness based on those things. Point number three, our rewards are from God and not man. Men can give you all sorts of awards and we can feel good about it all day long, but true rewards, spiritually speaking, are from God and not man. We need to stop looking with an earthly perspective, but rather see with a heavenly perspective. Listen, you and I may not accomplish great things in life. You may never achieve celebrity status on Instagram. You may never achieve that director position at your job. But that is not what life is about. That is not going to determine your worth, what you achieve and what you don't achieve. Matthew 20, 16. Chapter 20, verse 16. Let's read that. Go there really quickly. Things may not always appear to be what they, you know, things may not always seem what they appear to be. You could have people that totally look all the part and are extremely righteous. They could be up on pulpits preaching every week and have it all together, but be a mess internally. Matthew 20, 16. So the last will be first and the first last. I think when we get to heaven with the Lord, we're going to be a little shocked. We're going to be a little shocked at where people are in the scheme of things, because we should be hiding when there's a temptation to show our good works. It does not matter what you accomplish, but how you accomplish things with the right heart and the right attitude. And let me say this, last point here. Works are not bad in and of themselves. I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing things in the world. We shouldn't be getting educational degrees or getting jobs or positions. You know, God places us in these things and gives us these things at times. And it's to be a testimony. And it's, yes, to reward us for things. Works in themselves of themselves are not bad. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, 24, last scripture. Accomplishments are not bad. Works done with the wrong heart are works done in vain, but works done with the right heart will yield results for the kingdom of God. Okay, no matter what it is, you don't have to be this, you know, a preacher or a rabbi to have things matter in life and things stick. You could be a business person and just by your lifestyle lead people to God. You can be a celebrity and just by your example of how you live your life humbly before the Lord, you could influence those. Okay, you don't have to be preaching the word to have influence in life. But works done with the right heart are what all of us, no matter what our profession, whatever God puts us in, works done with the right heart are what we should strive for. Colossians 3, 23, 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Messiah. So the next time you get discouraged that you don't have the celebrity status. You don't have money. You don't have fame. You don't have positions of power. That doesn't matter in God's economy. It matters out there in that economy. But it should not matter. And this is what Yeshua is trying to get us to see. It should not matter in God's economy, because our rewards are based on God and not from man. So Yeshua is really having us dig deep, I think. He's really showing us a contrast with how the world is thinking and with how we should be thinking. The world does not think this way, but you and I should think on a higher level. We should internalize the words of God. We should become perfect as our Father is perfect. We should become holy as He is holy. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You because Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is Yeshua coming forth, the light of the world. And we have that light inside of us. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, as we go about our day in the marketplace and on social media and at school and at work, help us to live by these principles. Help us to be a testimony so that when people say, why aren't you flaunting all of your good works? Why aren't you tooting your horn? Why aren't you acting this way? We can say, because my rewards are not based in this world. My rewards are based from God. Help us to think that way. And then internally, when we internalize Torah, Lord, it should all flow out naturally where people see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. So, Lord, we pray for that in our lives. I pray for each and every person here, those watching on the live stream, that You would transform us by the power of Your word through Your Ruach, Lord God, to understand and live by these godly principles, this halakha, how to walk, our great rabbi and our Messiah, Yeshua, teaches us this. We thank You, Yeshua, for all that You provide. It's in Your name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together, you know, as we close our service.